The American Ninja Warrior podcast starts now.
Welcome to the American Ninja Warrior podcast. And now we can say officially welcome to season 10 of American Ninja Warrior.
That's a lot of American Ninja Warrior, but yes, it is. It is jam-packed today.
Well, I'm Matt Eisman.
I'm Akbar Bajabiamila.
And man, what a way to kick off the season, Akbar. Season 10, we're back in Dallas. And to me, what a historic spot. I mean, of course, I think back to one of the greatest moments in the history of American Ninja Warrior, Casey Catanzaro, not only getting up the warped wall, still the first and only woman to complete a city finals course. So great to be back in Dallas.
Well, we did it in front of the historic Cotton Bowl. I mean, and, you know, history was with Casey Catanzaro. We know the history of the Cotton Bowl, but there's just something special about Dallas. They say everything is big in Texas, and I tell you, the ninja competitors that we had there were amazing last night.
And what I love, too, was we've made some changes. And lowering the age from 21, which it had been since time immemorial, to 19, and now seeing this new class of ninjas, the guy who we've been waiting to see, Matisse, the kid, Awadi, to see him deliver, and Matthew Day, two 19-year-olds doing so well hitting buzzers.
Well, you know, you talked about Atis Mawadi. I mean, the kid. I mean, he's got the nickname the kid because he's special. He is a man child.
Protege.
Right. And he didn't disappoint. I mean, he showed us exactly what he was made of. We had seen a little glimpse of him here and there in team competition, but to see him one-on-one with the course at that age, and a lot of the young guys were so I love to see how they were gleaning from the older veterans. I'm pretty sure they were nervous.
And wanting to show that they belong.
Trying to put them out. Though, let me get what I can from you.
Which they did. I mean, this is the thing that I think is going to be interesting this season, in season 10, as we watch these younger athletes who've really trained their entire formative years for American Ninja Warrior. I'm excited to see the new
class. It puts a lot of pressure. It's going to put a lot of pressure, though, on a lot of these veteran ninjas, because remember, they are fearless when they're young, and we saw some of that fearless mentality. They don't have a lot of injuries. They don't have a lot of age and experience or fear from the natural course. Maybe fear of doing, you know, poorly on the course, but they're the ones to watch out for.
Yeah, but let's be honest. Yeah. Daniel Gill reminded him who's still the boss.
Yeah, did you see the way he went
element,
up? My goodness, that wall.
For those who didn't see it, you got to stop and watch, because we've added a new element this year, the mega warped wall.
18 feet.
Now, when we started, the warped wall used to be 14 feet. Now it's 14 and a half feet.
And then we add a mega wall. Season 10, we've gone big. We've gone big time, prime time, showtime, all time, good time. And Daniel Gill getting up that 18-foot wall, I don't think
the first one to do it.
I don't think any of us thought that it was going to be done. And for him to walk away with $10,000 at the end of the night, that was major.
And still have his great hair. And let's explain how difficult that is. We've seen the mega warp wall in the skills challenge, where Flip and John Alexis Jr. maxed out at 19 feet.
Right.
Fresh.
Right.
This is after five obstacles. You get one shot at an 18-foot warped wall. Daniel Gill delivers on the final run of the night, and I thought season 10 is off to an explosive start.
Right. I said, can you imagine the ninjas coming after that in the next cities? They are going to be coming after that wall. I expect a lot of them, now that they've seen that it can be done, I expect a lot of them to go after it.
And then the women, to, of course, have Barclay Stockett come in, but to be overshadowed by two young rookies, with Karen Wilton going in there. I mean, at 39 years old, finishing in the top 30, I was so impressed with these women. And Barclay, I think, got a little wake-up call, because she knows she finished third. If she doesn't step up her performance, we're not going to see her in Vegas. That's a little pressure, and that's a testament to how strong the women are.
Yeah, that's right, and it's going to be interesting to see how she does in the finals. But, you know, going back to that Karen Wilton, that's a new name for the Ninja Warrior community. 39 years old, the oldest female competitor. She went the furthest to the fifth obstacle, and I think she surprised everyone. And there's this thing that I think every year you watch Ninja Warrior, you learn that age is just a number. It really is. It's been a cliche that has turned into just a straight-up fact now.
Well, and I love that. I love seeing that we're still being surprised. Season 10 of this show. But one of the great things that we get to do with this podcast is to get to know some of our ninjas better. And today we have the privilege of sitting down with one of the most popular guys, a guy who you love for his dance moves, a guy who everybody loves for his positive energy, and that's Grant McCartney, the Island Ninja. And what a personality
I love Grant McCartney.
He's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, look, the dance moves, every time he gets on the course, I go home and I practice. That's how I keep up with the new dance moves, is by watching Grant
McCartney.
The Billy
Rock.
Yeah.
Now, you weren't here for this interview, and I'll let you tell the story why.
Well, obviously, you guys, you saw the runoff. For some of you guys that didn't see it, Red Nose Day was my first time competing.
Now, wait a second. What happened on Red Nose Day? I don't remember.
Well, I was the first host and Ninja Warrior. So I competed and hosted on the same day. But afterwards,
You're not going to mention tearing your shirt off at the starting line, too, and flexing 17 times?
Okay. So I made my pec jump a little bit, ripped off the shirt. It was so exhilarating.
Let's be honest.
I still can't get over it.
Christine Leahy and I, we felt it was a little rude.
this is inappropriate, Akbar. You're supposed to be in a suit and tie. But, you know, I had so much fun. I went to the gym the next day after I woke up, just feeling myself like I did it. I hit the buzzer. I went to the gym, tried to deadlift 185 pounds, not a lot of weight for me. 185 pounds, boom, hernia.
Hernia.
Guess what? I had to go to surgery.
So you had to go have surgery. Unfortunately, you weren't here, but I think you're going to enjoy this interview because, again, Grant McCartney is a guy who we've always known with a smile on his face, a guy with joy. But what was so much fun for me was getting to see the deeper side of Grant McCartney. And I think people are really going to enjoy this. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, enjoy our American Ninja Warrior podcast interview with the great Grant McCartney. I couldn't be more excited to be sitting across from this ninja. His smile's already lighting up the room, as it always does.
Is this picking up my smile?
It's Grant McCartney. Well, you always are smiling.
Yeah.
It's one of the unique things about you. I think Ninja Warrior, it really is a community, and I think it is a show about relentless positivity and support. But I don't know that anyone has stepped in and lit up the stage, not just with the performance, but with the personality the way you have.
Thank you so much, man.
So, that's what I want to know. Where does this come from? The Island Ninja, the guy born in, you were born in Tennessee.
Born in Tennessee, yeah.
And you end up in Hawaii and you couldn't embody the Shaka Bro anything more. Where does this come from, this Grant McCartney unbelievable, undeniable positive energy?
I guess I realize now that being on the show and the more that it's grown in popularity, the more I've done other things or people have asked me to come speak and talk about it, I've kind of looked back at my life and didn't realize how many, you could say, bad things have happened.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of people, I've lost a lot of hard times, a lot of really sucky things. And now I look back at that because everybody wants to know, well, what would you used to do? How was it? Or why are you this or that? And I thought, you know, all about it, like, why am I so happy? And I think it comes from my faith and it comes from a place of really being thankful. I just try to be thankful as often as I can before anything else. I try to remember the good things because you can get caught up in all of this stuff.
Right.
But if you just focus on the things that you're thankful for, it makes you more thankful. It's like a spreading. And then that just makes me happy. I mean, it's just happy to be here and still doing American Ninja Warrior, still being physically able, knowing that I'm going to go do a workout right after this and be in my fourth season. It's
that
crazy.
That makes me feel guilty. Speaking of the hard things, you lost your mother. How old were you when she passed away?
She passed 4 years ago. I was, run the numbers.
And that was just before Venice, before you started.
Yeah, it was actually this season of death. My mom passed away unexpectedly. And then 3 months later, my grandmother passed away. And then a couple months after that, my great-grandmother passed away, which, I mean, my great-grandmother, we're like, well, way to go, way to make it, outlive everybody, you know? And then my stepdad passed away, and then my dad's mom passed away. And it's kind of this season of
And
just
this was
pain.
All in just over a year.
Yeah. And so it was just really tough. And it felt like everyone was going to die. It felt like, you know, only thing that was going to happen was death. And I'd wake up, I'd cry in my sleep. I didn't even know that was a thing. And I'd wake up in the morning just, tired from crying all night
right.
in my sleep. And so getting in the middle of that season, I started to look towards the things I always said I was going to do. And I was like, you know what? Well, if death does come sometimes very more quick than we thought or, anything like that, I just decided I'm going to do these list of things I've always wanted to do. And American Ninja Warrior was the second thing on that list. And I just kind of started checking them off, and I'm still going for them.
Was there a moment? Was there a moment where you made that conscious? Because it sounds like it's a conscious choice.
Yeah,
that you made to say, all right, surrounded by this, a lot of people get swallowed up by it.
Yeah,
and we've seen that on the show where people go through really dark periods, understandably.
Yeah,
and it takes them a while to break out of it. But it sounds like in the midst of it, you made that choice. Was there a moment you felt where it was like, okay, I'm not gonna be sad anymore?
Yeah, I mean, I wish it was that easy. When you find yourself crying at night in a sleep, whether you're even unconscious to the fact that it's happening, that level of sadness is something that I don't wish upon anybody, and I don't have complete answers for. But when I would wake up, I would take that morning to pray and go, God, this can't be all of my life. This can't be everything that you have for me, is to just be in pain and grief forever. And I feel like God would remind me that there's more. And so I would kind of come out of it, and then I would find myself doing things that I found were positive that helped. So I would wake up crying, I would pray, and then I would go for a workout. And having a goal, like to train for being on American Ninja Warrior, got me doing something physical. And then you get done with a run and you go, wow, my body's able. Like, that's something to be thankful for.
Right.
Then you sit down because you're hungry as crap and you're like, man, this food is good. That's something to be thankful for.
Right.
And then, you know, being in Hawaii, of course, too, I'm able to be outside and I go, wow, this is something to be thankful for. And then it spurs on this, you know, overtaking of the pain and hurt, where it's not to be belittled. Grief is real and you should walk through it and feel it completely. But you should also know that it's okay to be thankful, even in times of grief. I one of my favorite things that someone said to me as I was with my grandmother for the last 3 months of her passing and into hospice, I was just like, oh man, it's so hard. I'm there every day. And I got to eventually where I was changing her diapers and I was doing, I slowly watched her forget her friends and then forget me. And it was so tough. Like, it is so hard. But I wouldn't change that for anything, because those are the moments in life where, because I stepped fully into them, I go, this is a good thing, even though in the last moments of life, I'm spending time with her in ways that it's come full circle, where I'm now caring for her. And that, you know, and there's little surprises in those moments where she had forgotten everybody and had forgotten me, and I brought her this drink every single night. I would bring her this Sonic Route 44 Diet Vanilla Coke, extra vanilla, extra ice, all the time. And I bring it every night to her, and then I'd sit down, and when I sit down with her, she would drink it and we would talk and we'd have such a good time. And probably about 2 weeks out from her passing, she stopped drinking them, and I would still bring them every night. I would bring them in, I'd sit down, and it was really good. It was like our moment. But then when she started to forget me and she forgot, you know, her favorites, it was tough to watch. And I would do it anyways, just for myself, like it made me feel good. And then one night I brought it in, I set it down, and she'd probably spent 3 or 4 days not drinking them. And I noticed that. So the next night I didn't bring her one, and I just got like a milkshake and I had it myself. And I would just talk out loud to her and she wouldn't respond. She kind of became nonverbal. And then randomly I sit down, I start talking to her and saying, hey, you know, just the random, she's not responding, but I figure I'd talk. And then she turns to me and she goes, where's my drink at? And I looked at her and I was like, what do you mean, where's your drink? I've been bringing it to you every single night. And now you want one? Because I didn't, like, how, you've been nonverbal. Like, and I remember laughing about that. And that was just, it was beautiful.
I got to say right now, a tear's rolling down your face. It's the first time I think I've ever seen you.
Oh, it happens a lot, right, though.
No, like I said, that's what's awesome about American Ninja Warriors. I feel like this is a place where people don't just come to share athletic successes. They come to share their life difficulties, like Maggie Thorne, and what a community it's been. What's it been like for you being a part of this community and becoming really, I would say, one of the people who's really the heartbeat of it?
Yeah.
What's it been like for you in terms of finding this whole new family?
It's been beautiful, but it's also been reparative for me. I've dove headfirst into it when, you know, I just wanted to do the show. And then when I had such excitement and success in it and joy, then it was backed with friendship and community and support. And it's like, it's hard to get out of. It's hard to want to ever leave something that great.
Once you're in, they keep pulling you back hold in. You,
and it's good. I've been, I mean, and I don't know, in comparison to everyone else, everyone's always like, oh my gosh, you travel all the time. And I literally just said, okay, I've made friends with all these ninjas, top level ninjas. Yeah. I'm going to go see what they do and how they do it. I traveled up to see Drew Dreschel, his gyms. I went down to Texas with Daniel Gill and Barclay down there. I went.
Yeah, but let's be honest, the real journey.
Oh, yeah.
Alaska.
I went out to Alaska, which Nick since day
one. You were in an igloo.
Yes, I built an igloo.
The island ninja going complete change of,
yes,
of climate.
And Nick was one of the best hosts because I always wanted to build an igloo, so we did that. I always wanted to cut a hole in ice and swim under it.
Right.
That was ridiculous. I've always
was that
wanted.
Terrifying?
It wasn't. It was really cold. It was just really, really cold. And I'm excited because now I'm going to host him. He's coming to Hawaii, right, in May. So,
how you mentioned that you American Ninja Warrior became a goal. Do you remember when you first discovered American Ninja Warrior?
Yeah, I guess I discovered Sasuke first as a kid on G4 Network. I was watching it. And then I saw the
and for those who don't know, Sasuke is the Japanese show that inspired American Ninja Warrior. So you're, yeah, going back
OG.
Before American Ninja Warrior even existed.
OG stuff, yeah. Yes. And so I was watching that, and I saw some American Olympians compete over there.
Paul Hamm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I saw that, and I go, wait, what? You mean I can do this? Like, Americans can do this? And I was a little kid, but I was like, I'm going to do this one day. I just kind of mentally told myself that, like, this list I've, right, been going through, this was added to that list at that time. And then over the years, I stored it away and I didn't do it. And then with everyone passing, I was like, you know, life is short.
Right.
I'm going to do this. And I did. And very fortunate to be able to get on.
We exploded onto the scene.
Yeah. I definitely came in like a wrecking ball. Yeah. No,
Miley would be proud.
It was so fun though. Well,
and for those who don't know, you're 6'2", 190.
Yeah.
You are, yeah, one of the bigger athletes out there. I mean, your dad played in the NFL.
Yeah.
You played rugby at Tennessee.
Yeah.
You're not the prototypical ninja.
No.
And yet, as we saw in LA, you had the fastest time in qualifying.
Yeah.
How? How do you have this speed and endurance at the size when most of the athletes you're competing against are going to be a good 50 pounds lighter than you?
Yeah. I mean, people don't realize that, and I guess they realize it when I start taking pictures with people. They want to sign autographs and take pictures, and they go to, like, stand next to me, and they go, oh, you're a lot bigger than I thought. I'm like, yeah, it's hard,
yeah,
hanging at that weight.
Mass.
You know, you and Akbar know. I mean, it's a lot of weight to hold, and so I try to just keep my mind focused during the grip stuff and then use my power and strength when I'm on the ground.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I mean, last year I was really going for speed. I still haven't found my perfect fit in the ninja world yet. Am I going for speed? If I do that too hard, will I burn out or will,
right,
I fall? Or do I take my time and know that I go for the long haul? I might not be the, you know, the endurance champ, but if I take my time, I can complete a city finals.
Right.
It's an interesting mix to try to figure out.
Well, that's what's always fascinating to me. And Akbar and I talk a lot about this. And obviously, we're much bigger guys. I'm 240.
Yeah.
Akbar's he was 260. Now as he points, he's 247 with a six pack. But that's what I think a lot of people don't understand is as you train, again, you're going to have a different training approach. Mm. And how is that when you're training with Nick Hansen, who's what, 170, 165?
Yeah, about 170, yeah.
Still a big guy, but,
yeah,
but nowhere near your mass or some of the other ninjas like we talked to. You know, we're going to be talking to Barclay soon, who's 120 pounds and five,
yeah,
feet tall. How does it, when you train with those people, how do you approach it?
I do register it now. When we're all doing something like these tiny little pinch grips where it's just my fingers literally, mm-hmm, will rupture tendons and stuff when I push them too hard. I remember Grant, it's like them doing it with a 50-pound backpack.
Yeah.
So when you don't get it, don't beat yourself up. But if you're capable, try your best. And it's kind of a mental place where I remember it's okay that if you're, you know, this might not play to your strengths, mm-hmm, but learn from the people at smaller size and what they do. And I've also tried the whole cutting weight thing. And, you know, it's tough. All of it is
tough. You like milkshakes?
I love some milkshakes. I love food. I had the
biggest. You got a six-pack, though. You're 190 with a six-pack. You're in incredible shape.
Yeah, I definitely.
There's a certain amount. I mean, again, your dad played in the NFL. Yeah. You've got some big genes in you.
Yeah. I noticed, like, the area I'd want to lose weight are my chest and my traps, where from my dad, I just have big traps and chest, mm-hmm. which really isn't a huge ninja muscle. And I'm like, dude, I got like a B cup. Like, yeah. I could cut this down to like an A and save like 10 pounds. If I had a little less boob on me, I mean, and so I run all these numbers. I look at my legs. Could I cut more weight there? Could I, you know, it's all about cutting muscle at this point because I did my body fat. I was at 3.4%. Mm-hmm. And you get much lower and you really become less explosive and tired. And so it's this.
So it really is a balancing act.
Yeah. I bottomed out. I went down to 188. And I just bottomed out. Like, I just felt awful, and I lost a lot of joy. Uh-huh. I'd sit in meals, like, really just bummed. And, you know, it's an interesting place to play, though, and see. It's amazing we can change our bodies like this. We can right. go up and down and change, and the ninjas are really keen to do that, whatever obstacle comes around.
When you talked about – so your dad, who's been so supportive,
yeah.
coming out and cheering you on.
Yeah, he's the man.
Played in the NFL. You played rugby.
Mm-hmm.
And when you discovered American Ninja Warrior, how you were there as this show really started to blossom,
mm-hmm.
and you were a flight attendant on Hawaiian Airlines. Yeah. Are you still flying with them?
Yeah, still flying with Hawaiian.
What is that like? Because you are one of the most recognizable guys.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that Hawaiian has been so supportive. Mm-hmm. It's been beautiful, like, just being able to still work there and they have their support, but also, like, when I go into work, like, an inter-island day where I'm flying in between the islands, so much love from the Hawaiian local people. Mm-hmm. And then employees. Like, there's employees that comment and post on all my stuff that saying, like, oh, my gosh, like, go represent, you know, da-da-da. And then locally in Hawaii getting a lot of support. And so... Hawaiian's been really great, but I do keep note of, like, when I fly too much, there's a level that it wears you down where you can't train at the elite level I need to.
Right.
So it's a balancing act. It's definitely a balancing
act. So that was one of the other things is, you know, we've had a couple other competitors from Hawaii on here, and one of the things is, as wonderful as Hawaii is, there aren't a lot of ninja obstacles mm-mm. there. And yet you came in very well prepared. How do you train on an island where there's not a salmon ladder, where
yeah.
there's not the obstacles that so many other ninjas have access to?
Yeah, and I mean, I am starting to, I would say, fall behind by not having a gym because some are training in gyms every single day. And mm-hmm. so when it comes to the salmon ladder, it's just a, like, they just have it dialed. Right. And, you know, I can pull up my body weight on anything, a tree limb, a rope vine, anything like that, but it's just not going to be the exact same. So I train the muscle movement, and then I just try to click that in when I'm there. Mm-hmm. So you might not have a salmon ladder at your gym or your, you know, your house or whatever, but if you can hold on to something, pull yourself up, that's the same movement. So just try to do that explosively, maybe do a clapping pull-up, and then it's like the salmon ladder. So you can pretty much train anything, anywhere.
Right.
But then I also I'll be outdoors hiking, surfing, working on my breathing, my underwater diving.
Now, I saw you doing that where you were carrying
yeah.
boulders
yeah.
underwater
yeah, yeah.
to work on cardio. That, to me, that looked insane. That's the stuff I see Laird Hamilton,
exactly.
the big wave surfer, do.
And those are the guys I take inspiration from it and I do workouts with. They get it when you surf big waves and you get held under. The difference between drowning and living is your ability to completely relax mm-hmm. and go, this will be over. The ocean is more powerful than me. I'll ride it out. And if you can do that, you'll come out and you'll live. And I've drowned before, like fully drowned in Puerto Rico surfing. And I learned the hard way about not relaxing and like swallowed water, and then they pulled me up on the beach, and I puked out all the water and everything. And
so you had to be resuscitated.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, fully.
What's going through your mind at that? Did you start making your peace? Like, I guess this is it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what is unbelievable is that when you're dying, your body does do the things like movies say. I literally flash through moments in my life,
uh-huh.
like little pictures, just as if like you see in a movie. I was like, wow, that really does happen. And then. And a lot of people are like, oh, I never want to drown, you know. And the reality is, drowning is very peaceful.
Uh-huh.
Like, if you just I mean, eventually I just succumbed to it and I just breathed in the water. And when I did, it was just really calm. I was very cognitive still and I was praying and I was like, first thought, which was crazy, was my mom is going to kill me because I told her I wasn't going to get caught in too big a waves. And then my second thought is just really peacefully praying. And I was like, God, if you have any more purpose in my life, please let me. And like, as I was praying, please let me, I was going to say, find something or get out of this. And I slam into this rock. I get sea urchins all over my body.
Now that doesn't sound like a positive.
I mean, it bounced me inside is what it was. So right. The way the wave was shaped, there's an outside wave and an inside. And the outside are about 25 foot and the inside are about 15. Hitting that rock bounces me inside the inner break, which caused me to wash up on the shore.
Wow.
So it actually was what saved me. And so when I roll up on the shore, I just start puking all this salt water and foam. And
right.
These people come running up to me in Spanish. Are you okay? Are you okay? You know, asking me all this stuff. And I remember just picking up the sand and wanting to like kiss it because it was solid ground that I was on. And
uh-huh.
I just instead started eating it. I literally was eating. I was like, I'm delusional. And I got up. I walked down. I was about a mile and a half down from where I got in. And my buddies were like, oh, we've been looking for you. What's going on? I was like, I drowned, dude. Like, I'm never surfing again. And, you know, da-da-da. And they were like, oh, dang, that's crazy. And then, like, 2 hours later, we were surfing.
You're kidding.
Yeah. I was like, you got back in.
So let me ask you this. You're saying you were sitting there going, if you have more purpose for me,
yes,
then save me.
So, unbelievable on the timing, too, because right. I was like, Lord, if you have any more purpose in my life.
He's going to give you a little sea urchin there.
Please let, boom. And I slam into this rock, and it bounces me literally up to the shore.
So what do you feel that purpose is?
You know, that's a really good question. I feel like me spreading the joy that I have mm-hmm. and the things that I'm thankful for, that's the mentality I feel like that God has instilled in me to share with people. The ability to recognize all of the wonderful, wonderful things that mm-hmm. he's, you know, bestowed on us that we don't even recognize sometimes. How healthy we are, how much friends we have, how much family is still around, mm-hmm. how the sun is still warm, how the night sky is still so beautiful. Like, these are the things that get missed, and I miss them still.
Right.
But those are the things I want to continue to push people towards, to remember that those are the signs that God does love us and that there is more meaning to life, and that, you know, it can be tough. It can be tough days, but that thankful heart, like, is the root of mm-hmm. building up the understanding that it's not all going to be bad or tough. And
so I've known you for years. We've talked a ton and we've talked on the show a lot. I don't think I've ever heard you talk as much about your faith.
Yeah.
So when were you raised very religious? Did you always have this, or was this something you kind of came to later in life?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I know that TV has its place about how they can make you into something or not. And I never want to come across about like as a Christian who's just like, I'm Christian, man. Da-da-da-da. Like, I want people to know.
We'll leave that to the papalness.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Sean does it well.
Yeah, Sean does it well. He does. And he acts it well outside of TV.
Yeah.
I want my life fully encompassing that someone could see me and say, this guy has something different about him. And they might not be like, oh, he's a Christian or he's a whatever. But I hope that they can see that by knowing me fully. And so I don't go on TV and I don't go in all my interviews going like, I'm a Christian. If you didn't know that, you should know that. I'm a Christian. Like, but it is the root of everything that I believe. I grew up knowing that as a young guy. And those were the moments that I when I go and speak, I speak at schools, churches, and big events now. And you know, even speaking with Akbar at Liberty University, there's 12,000 students there. And I forget that, like, people don't know these stories that, you know, my mom also tried to commit suicide when I was younger and that I found her. I
didn't know that.
Yeah. You know, there's been a lot of hard things. And I'm surprised because I don't want to always talk about these really painful things, but I do want people to understand there's more to me and there's more to life than just happy-go-lucky.
Well, to me, that makes it so much more impressive that we see this guy, and sometimes people might think, hey, this is just a guy who lives in Hawaii, who surfs, who flies around the world and has a good time, not knowing the hardships you've been through. I didn't know that about your mother. How old were you when that happened?
I was a pretty much my sophomore year of high school. My mom got remarried
so
my freshman year.
15 or 16.
Yeah.
And I mean, so you're going through a difficult time, the divorce, or she just got remarried.
She got remarried my freshman year, and my little brother, Colton, who you've seen on the show, yeah. He came from that marriage, and so things seemed really good, and then my freshman year was great. In my sophomore year, they were fighting more, and drugs and alcohol became a big issue. And I watched it deteriorate my family on that side. And then coming out of there, I had some really gnarly moments there too. And I mean, I could fill your ears with other friends that committed suicide at that time. People that my stepdad who did some things, and there's a lot of really bad things. But right. Moving through those times. I got into college, and that's my sophomore year of college. I was deciding to move back to live with my mom during the summer so that I could essentially watch over her. Mm-hmm. She started to use a lot and mix drugs and alcohol, and I decided to move back in. And I was at the house one day cleaning my car outside, and I heard her yell for me, and I thought I heard something. I was like, no, that's probably nothing. And then I heard her yell for her again, and I was like, okay, something's up. And then my grandfather pulled up immediately, and he and her weren't talking, so I knew something wasn't well. So I went inside, and in the living room, she had taken a knife and had cut in her wrist. Oh. And so she was bleeding out in our living room. And I just remember thinking, like, no one should ever experience this. Like, no one, I wish this on nobody, to see someone that you love and care about so much in such a bad place. But my heart wasn't like, oh, my mom is hurting me. It was, oh, my mom is in a really tough place. And we took her to the psych ward. We checked her in at the hospital. And things continued from there to be drugs and alcohol related and issues and struggles. We lost our house. We lost all of the things that were in it. It just, the things my mom used to keep of our memories of kids would eventually become scraps of paper that I had to sweep up in our garage as they were foreclosing on it, and the house. I mean, there's a lot of really bad things that happened in that time. But I would sit down alone, and I remember after that being in my car with my head on my steering wheel thinking, nothing matters to me. Like, I don't care about, I was doing well in school, in sports. I had friends. I actually ended up being the prom king at our school. Like, I had so many wonderful things.
Right.
And I remember thinking, nothing matters to me. And in that moment, I truly felt a tangible God come next to me and just say, this is tough. And I'm not going to belittle that. But I still love you, and I have still more for your life. And I know, no, this is, why? Why would this happen? Right. Why am I experiencing it? Why can't that just happen without me, or why? And some of the things in his word, in Deuteronomy 10, it talks about some of the things are for God to know. And then other things are for us and for our children. And when I don't get the answers to why, I focus on the things that I do know, the things mm-hmm. that are for us and for our children, as it says. And it's like, I got to remember that God isn't like this God just luring over me, tormenting me with things. Like, he has a purpose, that Romans 8:28, that he works all things for the good in those according to their purpose, to his purpose, and that love him. Meaning, he's got good things in everything that happens. So if I can find those, what is the purpose? Sometimes it takes a lot of time to find that. But I'll in the meantime, before I find that good, I'll focus on the things I do know to be true, and that God does love me. He's not just tormenting me. And if something doesn't work out the way I thought, it's not that he's just snatching away, like he's got some carrot right in front of me. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, no. Ooh, no. Like, he isn't that God, you know? And knowing that reminds me that even if it feels like that, I need to just know that he does love me and give it time. And in that time, I've learned so much. I've learned so much about, you know, the pain and hurt that I've been through, that sometimes God brings healing through suffering. And that even though I've hurt and lost and these people are gone, the reality is we're all gonna die.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you can't change that fact. And how thankful can I be that I've had not only my mom, but my grandmother and my great-grandmother for so many years of my life. I had four generations of women that I saw, watched, operated in day in and day out. And then, of course, when I lose those, it's gonna hurt.
Yeah.
But I had those. And people don't have that. So I can't go, oh my gosh, God, who are you? Why does this hurt so bad? I go, thank you, God, because look at all these times. Of course it hurts more because I know it more than others. And that's why I'm thankful. I know love so much better because of that.
That is such a remarkably mature perspective. And to think of it, you're 16, 17, 18, 19 mm-hmm. when this is going on.
Yeah.
And when most people probably would feel it's very self-centered time in life.
Yeah, definitely.
And instead, here you have this unbelievable presence that has shaped your life. So as you bring it to American Ninja Warrior, what does it mean to you now to know that there are all these people who watch you and emulate you? And what I love is hopefully they're getting to hear this side of the story. Because again, as well yeah. as I've known you, and I knew you had some hard times, I didn't know the extent of it.
Yeah.
Which to me makes your positivity even more remarkable. So what's it feel like for you to know there are kids out there who want to do the Millie Rock, who want to yeah. be just like the Island Ninja? Yeah. What's that feel like for you now to feel like you've got this purpose?
It reminds me that there is good in this entertainment industry. I've been enthralled and wrapped in it so much now. And I remember that there's some tough times where I'm like, wow, this is just, you know, whatever. And then there's good that comes of it. People watch it and go, yes, they can take however little or how much they want of mm-hmm. my story. They can say, oh, look, Grant has fun. I want to have fun. Oh, look, Grant knows how to get through these obstacles even though he's big. I can learn from that. Oh, look, he's working on his diet. I can take from that. Or they can dive even deeper and say, Grant has dealt with some heavy, hard life obstacles, and I can take away from that. Mm-hmm. So maybe they don't even give a crap about going up a salmon ladder, but maybe they know what it's like to fail over and over and over and then mm-hmm. succeed. Or maybe they know what it's like to lose and then to lose either in a competition or to lose someone they love and to be thankful for that and get restored internally during that. Like, I want those to be the stories that are told. And that's why I go and speak now. And I learned that, like, this is also a wonderful place that I've gained a platform to share and open up the deeper and heavier things that people don't know. And I want them to be inspired by as well, because I know I'm not the only one. I know I'm not the only one who's lost someone to suicide, have dealt with drugs and alcohol in their family, didn't succeed in something they wanted, have, you know, all these pains and issues, they can all be related, and I want to stir on those good things in people.
Now, again, for the people at home who see this, we often talk about the community, but what's it like living it? And is, you know, as you were saying that, I'm thinking of in LA, we had Janique Levette and her story of substance abuse and, mm-hmm. you know, being homeless and the way she's completely turned her life around. There's so many stories like these.
Yeah.
What's it like for you when you're really, you've been so, well, this community is one of the most unique communities anywhere, let yeah. alone in a competitive athletic show.
Definitely.
What are the things, I guess, you've learned from these other ninjas and some of their stories?
I am blown away that I remember my very first year walking on a set and meeting these people and thinking, wow, these are wonderful, super nice, extremely talented people. And then hearing their stories and right. going, what? They also have been through this, this, and this. They also do da, da. I'm like, it's crazy to me. And I think that there is something weird, unique and wonderful, and I would almost say divine, about the fact that these people get together and still spur on such goodness amongst each other in front of the TV and outside of it, mm-hmm. because I know the community outside of it, and it's just as good. Mm-hmm. We really do cheer each other on. We do want the best
for
everyone.
You're always traveling around the country, yeah. spending time with other ninjas.
I love it. I love the idea. I mean, my close group of friends has now become ninjas, and I have a lot of friends, and it's just... it's so good. It spurs me on to be physically more healthy, to go try new things, to grow in my areas of weakness, to constantly like urge myself to change and grow too. And that's just this community. I hope that all of our listeners are encouraged enough to go out and try. Go to your local ninja gym. Go to your local CrossFit gym. Go to your local whatever, rock climbing, whatever ninja style you want to, discipline you want to get into, and get to know in some community.
It is amazing to me, because one of the things I think Akbar and I always try to convey to the people is, as hard as it looks physically, I think Ninja Warrior is just as tough, if not tougher mentally, to know you get one shot at the course.
Oh, yeah.
And you've dealt with some heartbreak last year, of course, one rung away from going to Vegas. Yeah. Missing Classic. On the salmon ladder. David Campbell goes.
Yeah.
And yet you couldn't have handled it with more grace. And obviously we understand, I think, a little better now of the perspective of in the grand scheme.
Yeah.
That was nothing. But as you look at this, as Ninja Warrior goes on, and hopefully for a very long time, and obviously I feel you're a heartbeat of it, but what would be the next step, or what's the grand plan? Do you know what lies beyond Ninja Warrior for Grant McCartney?
Yeah. I have many ideas.
Uh-huh.
And some of them have started to happen, and I'm not one to be like, oh yeah, this is happening. And I've learned this from the entertainment industry. People are, oh, I'm doing this now. Oh yeah. Have you heard my new movie?
You sound like me.
I got my, and it's good in the right times when you need to sell something. But like the things that I want are, I'd love to have my own TV show. Uh-huh. I'd love to have a show where I travel around the world experiencing different competitions. And I've written up some of them, but like, in Holland, I think it is, there's a pole vaulting where you run in, you stick this like 30-foot pole, and you
right.
climb the pole as it's falling
oh
over,
my God.
And you try to get for distance some right. competition. Go there, meet the most elite guy who does
right.
that. Get him to teach me. Go do it, and then maybe doing some Holland, you know, ice bath recovery deal, and then having food with him and diving into this culture and stirring up the ability for people to see different cultures, different athlete recoveries, different workouts. And then just sharing that with the world. I want that to be my new platform where I realize entertainment can be a good thing. It doesn't have to be like, oh, everyone just watches TV and is lazy. It's like, I've watched television shows that inspire me. Mm-hmm. American Ninja Warrior is the quintessential mm-hmm. show for that. And I'd like to create more entertainment that does that. So whether it's through my social media and I'm creating workouts on Instagram or whatever that people go, oh, I want to go try that. Or do they just get a laugh out of it? I want to use my entertainment platform to stir up joy, happiness, learning, growing, inspiration in people. And so my own TV shows is the next one that I want to hunt down.
Well, I got to say, I think, again, it's amazing to me, as much as we've talked, as much as we've told your story before, I never really knew the depths of all that you've been through. And again, I cannot tell you how much more impressive it makes your positivity. And to me, you really are one of the people who embodies and encapsulates what American Ninja Warrior is all about. From the second you walked on, this unlikely physical yeah. specimen doing so well, but more importantly, again, it's to me, this show is about so much more. As you said, it's about these stories, and I can't thank you enough for sharing this and hopefully yeah. for giving people who, to me, what I love about the show is the idea that someone at home who's going through something similar, who feels alone, and to hear your story and to say, I never would have known.
Mm-hmm.
I never would have known all that you've been through, and that you're still this relentlessly positive man. So I want to give you the last word here. As these listeners are listening, whatever it is you would want to say to them about anything, because we've covered so much, but I want you to have this chance to share Grant McCartney's message with the people at home.
Yeah. I mean, we've hit it pretty well. There's so much I'd want to say to people, and that if I had to just leave you guys with anything, it's be thankful. If you're having a hard day and you're in a rough time, please think, stop, pray, meditate, and be thankful. Focus on the things that you do have and not on the things you don't, and be thankful for those, and you will be spurred up and changed in a way that's just, I don't know, God designed us that way,
mm-hmm.
that when we notice those things, it creates a change in our hearts and our minds. And I want you guys to dive into that and be thankful, as I am so thankful. And I hope that now you've heard a little bit more of my story, that there's a lot that I shouldn't be thankful for, as the world would maybe put it.
Mm-hmm.
But I am. I'm even thankful for those things, because those have shaped me who I am. And they've allowed me to grow and change and become where I'm at now. I want them to be thankful for their bad and their good, and see that it does change you.
I love how rather than preaching it, you live it.
Yeah,
you,
man.
You lead through your actions. The other thing you do is you dance unbelievably well, it's on Ellen. Yeah. So I want to let people know, where do they find you on social media? You're huge on social media.
I'm all about
Island
it.
Ninja. Where can they find you? Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Let's give that. Let's give these people a chance to follow you so they can get their daily dose of positivity.
Definitely. If you guys want any more, I'm all over all the accounts. At Island Ninja, you can find it. Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, all that. I'm putting up workout videos. I'm doing inspirational stuff on different every platform's different too, I've learned. Right. Because you're all over the Twitter game, and I'm trying to get that going. And if y'all didn't know all of the many things that Matt is, like, he's also a very funny comedian and perfectly suited for Twitter, where I'm learning to be a little more witty on there now. So pretty good. So you can find me at Island Ninja.
Well, Grant, again, I was really looking forward to sitting down with you, and again, as for you to be as candid as you are and to share it, I think is going to make a huge difference. To me, for these people to see all that you've been through and still what a beacon of light you are, and why you're such a big part of the community, and why we love seeing you compete. No matter what happens, you're always going to be one of the ones who everybody wants to watch. And so I'm going to say, check out the Island Ninja.
You.
The dancing fool.
Let's go.
Who's got the moves, who some point is going to teach me how to do the Millie Rock.
Yeah, but until then, one day.
Grant, I can't thank you enough, my man.
Right on, man.
Good seeing you.
Thanks for having me, bro.
Well, look, let me tell you something. I learned so much about Grant McCartney in that interview. I had no idea just the amount of stuff that he's gone through in his life. And it's great to see, though, too, the emotional side of Grant McCartney. So,
and all the ninjas. Yeah. I think it's so much fun. That's what's great about this podcast is on the show, we get 90 seconds or 2 minutes. But to have an hour to really for them to share their stories, I know how much more connected I feel and invested I feel now with the Island
And let me tell you something. If you didn't cry listening to that or just shed a tear, you're probably not human, because that one touched me. Yeah. And
I love it.
I respect him a ton for that. You know, moving on to next week, though, Los Angeles.
Oh,
it's
going
to be big. But we also got a big surprise next week in L.A.
Well, this is a prehistoric surprise. I mean, we're shooting at Universal Studios. What's the biggest movie of the summer? What's going to be tied in with American Ninja Warrior? For the first time ever, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom meets American Ninja Warrior next week on American Ninja Warrior.
I'm excited.
We're talking dinosaurs. It's going to be great. And I'll tell you, we may have a couple of stars of the movie. And I'm not just talking about the dinosaurs. Mm. People are going to have to watch this episode. It's going to be a good one.
Okay. All right. Let's see. I wonder who you're talking
65
about.
65 million years in the making.
You almost said a billion.
I did.
This has been the American Ninja Warrior Podcast.
That's right. Follow along on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Ninja Warrior.
And watch American Ninja Warrior.